Hey, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I hope this message will bless, encourage, and challenge you to walk into all that God has for you. So I hope you're ready for it. I'm excited for you to hear it. Let's get into it.
Praise the Lord. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage somebody today and say, as we are on lockdown, lock down your mouth. Lock down your tongue. Quarantine your tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What is up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning into the J Makopa podcast. I'm so happy that you are here. Once again, I'm super grateful that you've decided to take the time out and just to check this out and to see it as something that's going to be a benefit in your life. So you know how we do in the beginning. For the first time comers, if it's your first time listening to this, someone told you to check it out, or maybe you saw it from me on social media or something like that, I want to give you something special. I want to give you an extra massive, okay?
Oh, yes!
This is what we do here. And for everyone who has been loyal, even if you've just seen episode, I want to give you an extra massive, okay?
Oh, yes!
It's all massive in this podcast. So I want to give, like I said, I'm going to give like personal, special, extra immersives to people who just speak about the podcast on social media. And if I see you do that. So this week, it's one person. It's my homie, my homeboy, I was going to say.
Extra immersive.
I said my homie. That is strange. But it's Thapelo Masebe. Okay, I think I said your surname the right way. But my homie, bro, thank you so much for checking it out. I think I uploaded a video and you were one of the first people on it. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Here comes your extra massive. My G,
oh, yes!
Have a great week. That's blessing. That's another way we bless here. So, but yes, we know that it is lockdown season. The whole world is going through this crisis, but we're staying hopeful and we're staying full of faith around this whole thing.
Oh, yes!
So I've got a message for this Sunday that I'm hoping it's going to have a lot of impact in your life. And what it's about is when your faith is under attack. And the message is called Faith Under Attack. So I'm just going to say a prayer for you,
oh, yes!
For myself, so that this whole time, the next couple of minutes is going to be a blessing to all of us. So let's pray. God, I come before you. I pray that your hand would be over me and would be over the people who are listening. I pray, God, that you would just bless all of us. May this message draw us closer to you, and may it help us to stand in faith, even when it seems like our faith is under attack. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, faith under attack. Many of us have been through moments in our lives when our faith has been under attack, where it just seems like you're not sure if you can hold on anymore, where it just seems like you're not sure if you can take the next step anymore. And in those moments, our faith in God can often feel like it's being attacked. Now, I want us to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. He says he's fought the good fight and he has kept the faith. You see, the trick is what many people go through when they're in a fight is they drop their faith, is they lose their faith. I'm sure you've heard someone say that, I've lost my faith in God. I've lost my faith in my future. I've lost my faith in my dreams. But Paul says, as he's writing this letter to Timothy in the Bible, that he has fought the good fight and he has also kept his faith. You see, this is what I want you to also hold on to, is that you need to keep your faith even when your faith is under attack. The Bible is already telling you ahead of time, even before you were born, that there are going to be fights. So when you see fights, guys, when there are fights in your life, it doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It doesn't mean something is wrong. That's just how life is. Life is going to have fights. When you are chasing your dreams, there are going to be fights. It's going to be a challenge. When you are just trying to have a good family, there are going to be fights. When you are trying to better your life, there is going to be fights. Even when you're just chilling, doing your own thing, not really being engaged, fights are going to come your way. So if you know that a fight is coming your way, what should you do? Should you not prepare for it? You see, the Bible tells us these things ahead of time to let us know that, hey, you have a fight to prepare for, and you need to make sure that your faith is in the right place. You see, but faith is not only something you turn to when things are going bad. Faith should be your lifestyle. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, that we are saved by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says we live by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 says we receive righteousness through faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says we are justified by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says we access God's grace through faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says we stand firm in our belief by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 says we receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 says we do God's work by faith, and Galatians chapter 5 verse 5 says we wait for the return of Christ by faith. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. You don't just say I want to have faith when things go hard or go difficult, or when things are not working out in life and things are painful. Faith must be your lifestyle. I don't know if some of you know a boxer called Mike Tyson. Now, Mike Tyson is one of the greatest boxers in history. Now, this is his stats. He won 21 title fights. In total, he fought 57 fights. He won 50 of the 57 fights, and 44 were knockouts. Now, how many of you know something about a knockout? A knockout means that the person got punched and it was lights out. They could not fight anymore. Imagine 44 knockouts. That is crazy. Mike Tyson, guys. But you know, sometimes in your faith journey, there's going to be times when you have a knockout faith, where you're just going to have faith. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. Like, you will say a prayer, then soon after you say the prayer, things change. Or you have faith about something, and all of a sudden, things just shift and get right into how you wanted them to be. And it's like a knockout situation. You had faith, things came together, and everything was nice. But some of us will also know that that's not the whole story of life. Sometimes the fight that you're in is not going to be a knockout fight. Your faith may need you to go through a couple of rounds in the fight where you lose sometimes, where you're going to be knocked out sometimes. You see, a fight is not just about your punches going out. A fight also means you're going to receive some punches. A fight also means you're going to be disappointed. A fight also means you're going to be knocked down and you're going to feel some pain sometimes. Guys, this is what it's about. This is what your life is gonna go through. Again, don't think that something is wrong, that this is the fight that you are in. But again, keep your faith. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible describes faith as a shield. Now, in a fight, if you've seen movies like these movies where they are swords and they're shields, what is a shield doing? A shield is getting the most cuts, it's getting stabbed, it's being kicked, it's being affected, it's being scratched. And that's what faith is. That's how the Bible describes your faith. You must know that your faith is going to go through cuts. Your faith is going to go through bruises. Your faith is going to be scratched. It's going to be damaged sometimes because of the fights you're going to get into. But it is there for that. It's there to protect you. It's there to be your shield. So you must know that in your life, your faith is going to be attacked. So when you feel like, hey, my faith is being attacked, you must know that, yes, your faith is going to be attacked, but it must be a faith that can stand the attacks, because attacks are going to come over your faith. Attacks are going to come for your belief about your future, your belief for your children, your belief for marriage, your belief for your dreams. Attacks are going to come, your belief in God. Attacks are all going to come your way. But you must know that you have to work in a way that, or live in a way, I should say, that your faith is going to be in a place where it can stand when the attacks come. Are you hearing me? I hope you guys are hearing me. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed against me will prosper." So it does not say no weapons are going to be formed against you. The Bible in this verse is literally saying, it says, no weapon formed against you. So it says there are things that are going to be formed against you. And some of you already know them. There are things that you are looking at right now and you're like, this situation is against me. It can be economies. It can be people. It can be situations at work. It can be situations affecting your ability to even get a job. It can be finances. There are going to be things that are going to be against you, but the Bible says that they will not prosper. Now, what does prosper mean? Because on social media, people are saying that, hey, tough times are lasting. You know, that Demi guy says like tough times never last, but it looks like tough times are lasting. What the Bible is saying, yes, tough times, sometimes they're going to last, but they are not going to have the last say. They're not going to have the final word over your life. And this is what your faith needs to understand. The Bible says no sickness formed against you will prosper. No depression against you will prosper. No disease against you will prosper. No division in your life will prosper. No insecurity in your life will prosper. It won't prosper, but it's going to stand there and it's going to be formed against you. You see, what life is going to do is life is going to hit you and it's going to hit you hard. This is something that you need to understand. When you're chasing a dream, you're chasing your vision, or you're just trying to live a good life, you're trying to serve God, life is going to hit you and it's going to hit you hard. But now I want to ask you a question. Where are you leaning? Because you're going to fall in the direction that your life is leaning. You see, some people's lives are leaning towards the world. You're leaning towards the music of the world, the entertainment of the world, the thinking of the world, the mindsets that are in the world that's apart from God. You're even chasing the reputation and the applause of the world. Or is your life leaning in the direction of God? Are you leaning towards faith? Are you leaning towards hearing more of God and prayer and speaking about God and knowing Him more? Because when life hits, you're going to fall in the direction where you are leaning. Now, you can either fall on your face, and that's falling, that's if your life is leaning towards the world, or you can fall on your faith. And that's what happens when life knocks you down and you see some people stand up and say, you know what? I still believe God is good. I still believe God's in control. I still believe that things can turn around through the power of Christ. That's what happens when you fall on your faith. But when you fall on your face, if your life has been leaned towards the world and desiring what the world has for you, then you're going to start saying, you know what? I don't believe in God anymore. I don't think that this whole thing is real. I don't think that it's really going to help me. So I ask you guys, again, I said, this is about lifestyle. This is about what your whole life is fashioned towards. Lean towards faith, lean towards the things of God. So when life hits, you will fall on your faith and not fall on your face. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. It says, now faith. Now, what I like about it, it says, now faith. It's not saying later faith. It's not saying next week's faith. It says now faith. You see, when you have faith, it's not something that you put off for tomorrow or you put off for next week. You say, I will change at a later stage. Now faith is speaking about the fact that you need to change now. That the difference that you need to see in your life, you need to start making that happen now. Not later, now. So I'll ask you again, what are the things you need to start applying and changing and uprooting or building in your life right now? Do you need to start growing your prayer life now? Do you need to start reading more of the Bible now? Do you need to start rejecting things and ideas that the world is giving you now? Not tomorrow, guys. I'm saying now. What do you need to start doing now? Because faith is not something that you put off. Faith is something that you begin to build right now. And this is what I'm encouraging and challenging you to start doing, is to start saying, what must I do now? What must I change right now? It's not about having a blind faith. It's about having a faith that is evident, that people can see. Look, I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you're in high school, you're in university, you're outside of university. But I remember when I was in high school, And I would be in class, everything would be so good, everything would be fantastic, you know, chilling, doing my thing, you know. And then all of a sudden the teacher would walk in, and the teacher would come in, I'd say, hi ma'am, are you fine, ma'am? You know, everyone is good, everybody's on the same page. And then all of a sudden the teacher, something would come over her, it would feel like some evil thing has come over her mind, and she would say these evil words. She would say, class, we have an unprepared test. And the whole class, listen, man, it would be dark in the room, like people would be crying, people would be calling their parents, kids are rolling all over the floor, people are trying to get out of the window. Unprepared tests. Nobody likes an unprepared test. But then the teacher would say one thing that would change the whole atmosphere. She would say, but it's a open book test. And we're all like, come on, ma'am, we love you, ma'am, you ma'am, we love you, ma'am. Who remembers things like that? Guys, I have good news for you. That I know life has unprepared tests. I know life throws things towards you that you didn't expect. Sometimes it's with health. Sometimes it's with finances. Sometimes it's with family. Sometimes it's things you just didn't expect. It's an unprepared test that you are facing. But because we are believers, every test that we have is an open book test. What book am I speaking about? The book I'm speaking about is God's word, is the Bible. It's always an open book test. So when things come your way and you are unprepared for it, it's something that it's testing your faith. It's testing your belief. It's testing your patience. It's testing your strength. Those tests are all open book tests, guys. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Let's look what the Bible says. It says, everything is possible to him who believes. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. It says, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches. Psalms chapter 5, verse 2 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous with your favor. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 40, verse 24. It says, by his stripes you are healed. Guys, go to the open book test. Go to the open book test. It is not supposed to be something that's going to confuse you. It's not something that's supposed to destroy you, but the answers are in the book. So turn to the book. I know a lot of people struggle with the Bible. People struggle to read it, but I encourage you guys, this is a great time to begin to figure it out. Begin to get a pattern for your own life where you will know when trials and situations and challenges come, you will turn to the open book to find your answers. Guys, for me, the greatest sitcom, you know, this is a very touchy, you know, subject. The greatest sitcom, I know many people say different things, but I'm going to tell you what it is. It's My Wife and Kids. Okay, if you believe that it's My Wife and Kids and you're with me, guys, drop an emoji, drop a comment, and let me know that I am with you, because I feel like, you know, if you believe that, truly in your heart, that My Wife and Kids is the greatest sitcom of all time, I think me and you can do mighty things together. We can take over the country. You know, we can fix this country together. But there was an episode where Jay and Michael, the parents, were complaining about Junior, one of the son. And they were, because he was acting, you know, if you watch My Wife and Kids, he does foolish things. And they were saying that, you know what, he gets this from your side of the family. And then that wife was saying, no, gets it from the husband. The husband says, no, it's from your side of the family. But why were they having this debate? They were having the debate because a child will be like the parent. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, having faith is not just believing in God. You see, you begin with that. You believe in God, but then as your faith begins to grow, what you're supposed to do is begin to believe like God. Now, why did I say that in the beginning about the father and the son, where they could say the parents are like the children and the children are like the parents? Because we are children of God, we are meant to work towards not just believing in God, but we have to also work on believing like God. So when you look at a challenge, you must ask yourself, what does God believe about sickness? What does God believe about lack? What does God believe about pain? What does he believe? And we begin to form our beliefs to be like the same way that God would look at the situation. Because when you believe like humans, we are all limited, and we will soon get to a place where we say, no, I want to give up. No, I don't think this can work. No, I think maybe we should just quit on this thing and do something else. But when God looks at it, how does he see it? You see, when you have faith, it's not just having faith in God, but you need to also begin to get on a path where you say you need to start believing like God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. So how he believes, we are meant to believe as we're living our lives on this planet. Now we're going to go through three things that I want to give you guys to do when your faith feels like it's under attack. When you feel like your faith is under attack, we need to do these things. Number one, you need to believe that you will have victory, that through God you will get your victory. You need to believe that through God you will get your victory. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. You see, your belief that you will get the victory is going to come by hearing God's word. That's one of the reasons why I made a podcast, so that people would be able to hear God's word, hear it, because the more you hear God's word, the more it is going to build your faith. The more it's going to build your faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, it says, the promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith and hearing faith. So, you know, there was a time when I used to work out. I need to get back there. But I used to think that if you work out and you get your body to a certain point, it's fine, you're done. Like, after you've worked out, your body's at that point and you're good. Like, your life is going to continue and you're just going to have that body. Until I found out that that's not the case. When you see these models or these bodybuilders, they have to always work on their bodies for their bodies to be strong. And that's the same thing with faith. It's not just this thing of you say, okay, I went to church, I have faith. Or I said a prayer, I have faith. No, it's something you constantly work on, because you know that the fights ahead of you are great. So it's not just something that you're going to say, I'm going to be able to go through every challenge if I went to church on Sunday. It is, again, something you need to bring into your whole life in order that you are going to stand strong. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it says, the word is near you, it is in your heart, and it's in your mouth. Now, a thing that I want to encourage you guys to begin doing is begin to confess God's word. Begin to speak it over your life. Don't just hear it. But when you hear things in God's word, I even just encourage you just to Google verses on God's promises. And when you get those verses, just begin to speak them over your life and begin to just say them. Because the Bible says, again, Romans 10 verse 8, it says, the word is near you, it's in your heart, but it's also in your mouth. You have to, don't have the same confession that other people have who don't trust in God. Your words have to reflect that you trust in God. Remember point number one, like I said, you have to believe that you will get victory through God. So it's not just a matter of believing it in your mind, but it's also speaking it. It's finding out what the Bible says about victory in God and begin to speak it over your family, over your finances, over your academics, over your future, and over your dreams. So number one, believe that you will have victory through God, or God will give you victory. Number two, you need to live with conviction. You need to live with conviction. Now, what is conviction? I've spoken about this before. You have to have an unshakable belief in what God has said about your life and what God says about your future. But how do you get conviction? Because people have asked me that. How do you get conviction? You know, many times you'll maybe listen to a sermon in church or maybe even a podcast, and something will hit you hard. And then you're like, yo, yeah. Hey, God hit me. God really spoke to me there. You know, that was powerful. That impacted my life. It's not enough for it just to stay there, that you say it impacted your life, or I saw something when I read the Bible. That's called revelation. But revelation, after something has been revealed to you, it means you know it. But what happens with a lot of people is that God will show them something, or they'll hear something in church or hear something in a sermon. And what will happen is they will get the knowledge, but then it'll almost be like a library that they put it in. It's like a book in their mind. It's like, okay, I know this, I know this, I know this about God. But knowledge is never going to have power until you begin to apply it, until you begin to use the knowledge. And I want to give you this illustration that it's just like deodorant. You see, when you buy deodorant, you can buy it, you can have it, you can carry it wherever you go, but it's not going to work until you apply that thing. until you apply. You have to apply God's word in order to see the power of it. God's word is something you have to apply. It's not just something you hear. I keep telling people at church that don't tell me that my sermon was powerful. Tell me it was powerful after you have applied it. It's not powerful just in the hearing, but it's powerful in the living of the sermon. And even in what I'm telling you now, you may think that this is powerful, but the only way you're going to see the power of what I'm saying, or the power of God's word, or even the power of faith, is when you begin to apply it and live by it. You see, revelation, like I said, when God reveals something to you, it goes into knowledge. Then from knowledge, it moves into application. You begin to apply it. From application, it turns into a habit. Just because it's a habit, it doesn't mean it's necessarily something you deeply believe. But from application, if you keep applying God's word, it's going to turn into a habit. After it turns into a habit, it turns into a lifestyle. From a lifestyle, it then becomes a conviction, something you cannot be shaken from. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. I want to bring you back to this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who use it bear its fruit. So again, you need to make sure that your conviction, living a life of conviction, will also be seen in your words, guys. I want to speak a bit. I'm touching a bit on this today. The words you are saying about your life, the words you're saying about the country, the words you're even saying about the coronavirus. What are you saying? Are you speaking words of life? Are you speaking words of hope? Guys, When your faith is under attack again, guys, it's about what you were saying. When it just doesn't seem right, when it just doesn't seem like things are coming together, are you saying it's not coming together, or are you saying, I believe it'll come together? When you're looking at things happening in your family, are you saying, my family is falling apart? Or are you saying, I believe that even though the situation is like this, that the end result is going to be goodness? When there is turmoil around you, when you are depressed, are you saying, oh, I feel like giving up? Are your words matching up with your faith? Because your words need to match up with your faith. Because if not, you are going to be losing your battle. You're going to be losing your fight. What are the words you are saying over your life, over your future, over your parents, over your dreams, over your finances, your academics? What are you saying? Make sure that your words will continue to be words of faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, whatever you ask for, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. Whatever you ask for, believe that you will receive it and it will be yours. Psalms chapter 116, verse 10, it says, I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. My conviction is going to change how I speak. So Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So it's not just about confessing with your mouth, but it's not just about saying you believe it in your mouth, but it's also a part of speaking with your word. So number one, when your faith is under attack, believe you can win. God can give you victory. Number two, live with conviction. Number three, you've got to use your weapon. You are in a fight. You see, when God knew that you're going to be in a fight, you're going to fight for your faith, you're going to fight in this life, he didn't just leave you in there with nothing. He sent you in there with a weapon. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. It's word dwell in you richly. Let the word dwell in you richly. I want to ask you again, guys, what are you full of? Are you, is music, are you full of music? You know how some people say, this person is full of, okay? If people talk about you, do they say, hey, you are full of, and what do they say at the end of that sentence? Do they say, are you full of God's word? You see, I'm just trying to let you know that that must be personally your goal, that you are full of God's word, because that is going to be your weapon. Your faith is going to be your weapon. As it says in Ephesians 6, verse 16, that it's supposed to be the shield of faith, it's supposed to protect you. See, God's word is where your faith is going to be developed. Your faith in God, your faith that he can change things. It's all going to come from his word. It's not going to come from ideas. It's not going to come from social media. It's going to come from his word. So make sure that it's in you richly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says that God's word is a weapon. It is a sword. It is something that you use when your faith is under attack. When your faith is under attack, you don't just go and say, I need someone to encourage me. When your faith in your future is under attack, you don't say, I need someone to come and have my back. I need someone to support me. I need help. I need company. No, you need to pick up your weapon because you are in a fight. I want you to know, listening to me right now, you who are listening to me right now on the podcast, there are fights that you're going to have to fight by yourself. There are things that you're going to have to look at and you are going to have to rise up in courage by yourself. I want you to know that being brave, it does not mean that you are not afraid. There are going to be some things that you're going to have to stand up even though you are afraid. You see, bravery is still going ahead even though you are afraid. It's still going ahead with your mission, going ahead with your purpose, chasing the dream, obeying God, doing what God has told you to do. Even though you are afraid, that's what makes you brave. But you have to go into your fight with a sword. If you're going to go into your fight without a weapon, you're going to be knocked out. The Bible says in the beginning, that the first, when Paul was speaking, he says he's fought the good fight. It's a fight that you're going to be in. It's a fight for your family. It's a fight for your dreams. It's a fight to keep believing in God. Again, I'm saying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, take up the sword, which is the word of God. The word of God is powerful. It can change situations. It can give you faith. It can give you peace. It can give you direction. It can give you wisdom. It can uplift you. It can even help you understand what is going on around you. It can help you understand who God has made you to be. Come on, guys. The word, the Bible also says that faith without actions is dead. If you say you just believe in God, but it's not seen in your actions, it means that your faith is dead. We all say and have all heard that actions speak louder than words. So even in your faith, your actions are going to be the power behind your faith. They're going to be the thing that is going to energize your faith. It's not just here, guys. It's in your heart, it's in your words, and it's in your actions. I want to pray for someone today. Like I said, let me just run through it. It is, believe God will give you victory, live in conviction, and also use your weapon. Guys, in this lockdown, I encourage you, it may not be a habit yet, but begin to develop a habit of reading God's word. But I want to pray for someone today who you are struggling with your faith. You're struggling to believe for things. Maybe you're feeling hopeless. Maybe even your faith in God is being affected. I want to say a prayer over you, but I also want to encourage you to go back over this podcast, listen to it again, and just pick up the truth of God's word that's going to uplift and build you up. Let me say this prayer. God, I come before you. I thank you so much for your love. I pray, God, for those right now who are struggling in their faith, for those whose faith feels like it's under attack. I pray, God, that they would learn that they must, number one, believe that you will give them victory, but their belief is going to come from hearing God's word more. I pray, God, may they begin to give their ear to God's word, Lord. I pray, secondly, my God, may they begin to live a life of conviction, of clear beliefs and clear standards that they live by. And also, again, may their words match their faith. But thirdly, may they use their weapon, which is the word of God today. I pray, God, when the enemy tries to destroy them, when negative words and negative voices, my God, try to pull them down, may their faith arise in this time, and may they stand up to be great men and women of God who are listening to me, God. May they know that they must not give up. May they know that they must not quit, but you are with them. You'll never leave nor forsake them. No weapon formed against them shall ever prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the J. Makopo podcast. Guys, share this with somebody who may need it. Share it with somebody who needs encouragement. And even if you just want to help me by spreading this message to all the good people who need to hear more of this type of thing. So guys, I say again, please subscribe. Please rate the podcast. Please write a comment so I can hear from you, and also so other people can know that this is something good for them. Thank you so much, guys. I encourage you, don't give up. God is on your side. Keep your faith strong. Thank you for listening. God bless you. This is J. Makopo from the J. Makopo podcast, signing out. Take care. God is love. Peace out. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to ask you to please subscribe and write a review about what you heard, about what you liked, and maybe even something you'd like me to speak about in the future. And also, please just share it with someone else who you know would really enjoy it, or someone who would really just be blessed by the episode, or maybe just the whole podcast. Please, let's just spread word out about it. But once again, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, a great week. I hope you're doing well. Stay tuned, because there's so much more to come. Take care. God bless.